Good day, my friends. How you folks doing today? And welcome to episode 7 of Morals Podcast. I'm yours truly, Moral Truth. And today, we don't just have one guest, we have a couple of guests. So let me go ahead and introduce the guest for today. Our first guest is Moriarty from Crymore Gaming.
Hi guys, this is Moriarty.
And we also have Orphan Ollie.
Hey guys, Orphan Ollie here.
All right, so before we get into the topics, how about you folks talk about a bit about what you folks do on your YouTube channel and such? So let's start with Moriarty.
I am one half of Crymore Gaming, the more part. And the other part is Cry, which is CryptoSpook, my partner. We run a channel that has six different personalities on it, doing daily content streams, you name it, we do it. And that's kind of it. We're a gaming channel and we do all gaming. So reviews, critiques, streams, top five lists, random conversational pieces. We're starting up an interview section shortly where we'll be interviewing developers and moving on with that and kind of doing more in-depth stuff. That should be coming out next month sometime. So just kind of gaming in general.
Right, cool. And how about you, Orphan Ollie?
Yeah, I'm a one person less cool version of that. I just do gaming.
Just gaming?
That's yeah. For the time being, I have a couple of vlogs thrown in and I'm working towards other stuff, but
I already absolutely love your introduction because it's just, hey guys, I do gaming. I just do gaming. And the thing is that gaming is such a huge thing. So it's not, don't put yourself down for just gaming, man. You're 60% of
no worries.
YouTube.
That's how I started out. I started off just gaming, you know? So you're not alone on that one.
Yeah, I plan to branch into music and other stuff later on. I just don't have the necessary equipment or skills at the current time, so.
All right, that's cool. All right. Our first topic we're going to be talking about is growing a small YouTube channel. I'm sure that's something we all had to experience when we first started out YouTube. Am I right? Or am I right?
Definitely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, growing a small channel is something that what there's thousands of people doing every single day. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's currently what I'm in, I guess. I just recently had a huge like explosion of growth, and that huge explosion was only like 9 people, but still, that was big for me.
You gotta start small, man. First
Yeah, of
hundred's the hardest,
course.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I started out, I was just doing, like I said earlier, I was just doing gaming videos and specifically RuneScape, and then I had like just a RuneScape audience, which it wasn't really too much. And then I wanted to branch out because I wanted to have variety, and that actually kind of helped me out a bit when I started doing vlogs and podcasts, so it kind of helped me out a bit too. I'm not 100 subs yet, but I'll get there. It's been already a couple of years, but I'm just taking it slow and steady because slow and steady wins the race.
Yep, I'm just hoping that my sub growth doesn't follow the trend that it already has, or that it's been on. Otherwise, it'll take another 3 years for me to hit 60.
Wow. And see, that's the thing. We did it totally backwards. We exploded past 100. We exploded up to 500. We got to 1,000. And as soon as we hit 1,000, we completely stopped growing. Completely stopped. We've barely grown in 6 months. We went from 1,000 December 15th, 2016. And now, not even at 1,500 yet. It's incredibly painfully slow.
Oh, dang.
Very, very painful.
How long did it take
Very,
for
very
you to
painful.
get to 100? If you don't mind me asking.
Maybe 2 or 3 days. It was incredibly fast. We started out doing CSGO Overwatch videos, which is when a higher level player watches a playback of the game to decide if somebody is cheating or not. And if enough people decide that they're cheating, that person is banned. So it's kind of like a self-governing body inside of the game. So we started out doing that and just kind of having fun Overwatch videos where we would do it and we'd talk about it and let the viewers decide if we were right and wrong. And people really liked that and we were doing fantastic. And I didn't realize we were doing fantastic because I had just started the channel and it was just exploding. I mean, we gained in one day, like 50 subscribers. The next day, you know, we're gaining another 30, 40. So like we just blew up really quickly. And then we completely pivoted to what we do now, which is game reviews and critiques and things like that, because it's, quite frankly, it's just more interesting to us. Yeah. And it's been very, very slow.
Yeah, as long as you guys are choosing to do something that you guys enjoy. I mean, it'll show, like, when towards, like, when you're engaging with your audience, it'll show, like, oh, you're not bored, like, doing the content that you do, right? It's something that you
I'm
actually enjoy.
I'm definitely not bored, but man, I really wish I could go back to those days when I was getting 50 subs a day.
And I wish I was in your shoes in the beginning. I'm just kidding. But yeah, how does it actually start with actually growing, or after starting out a YouTube channel? Like, first it starts out with actually choosing what you want to do, but not necessarily, I mean, just upload your first video. I mean, that's what you would say. Like, I remember I talked with you sometime back about growing a channel, and you said something about, oh, just upload your first video and see how that goes, and then eventually, you know, if you find something you like, then, you know, stick with it.
I will tell you, so for those who don't know, I am the director of NewTubers, which is the largest premier small YouTuber, small content creator community in the world at this point. And 100% of the people that we have seen grow, and I'm not talking about the steady, just four or five, but the people who have suddenly come out of the gate and they've gone from 300 to 10,000 in 2 months, 100% of those people pivoted away from what they started doing. Every single person who ever started and grew through NewTubers, which, you know, we've got people like ShoddyCast in there, which is now like 8 million subscribers or something like that. And one of the guys is on Game Theory now. So like those people grew up in NewTubers, and every single one of them did a pivot from what they started doing to something else. So I don't think changing your mind and doing a different type of content is in any way wrong. And I feel that in most cases, people go in and they say, here's what I want to do, and I think this will be popular. And then eventually they find something and they go, this is what I actually want to do, and I don't care if it's popular.
With that said, I know one of the major parts of actually getting yourself out there is something called SEO, or search optimization. Wait, what was it again? I forgot. It was
search engine optimization.
Yeah, that. And that consists of many things, like your title of your videos, and then there's your thumbnails, your video descriptions, your tags, and there's actually some tools they could use, like, towards increasing your SEO. There's TubeBuddy, and then there's vidIQ. I personally use vidIQ, the free version, and I use that to see what tags are working and what tags aren't working, and then I look at other videos, see what tags they're using, and I'm trying not to use those generic tags, but using tags that are more, I guess, unique, I should say.
Sure, yeah. SEO is one of those things that's really, really finicky, and it's arguable that it doesn't actually matter all that much anymore. The problem with the algorithm, which is what determines where you rank. So when somebody is watching your video and they've clicked into it and they're not one of your subscribers, or maybe they are, it doesn't really matter, but they see it on their front page, or they see it in their sub box, or it shows up in a recommended, or any of that. That's the algorithm trying to find a video that a person will watch. And the reason that they want them to watch it is so that they'll see an ad. Like ultimately that's what it is. They want to see an ad. So with that algorithm, the problem with it is that nobody knows how it works, because it's not made by a human. No human came up with that algorithm. It's done by a machine through what's called neural networking. So a whole bunch of neural networks which are essentially just really, really smart computer algorithms, designed the algorithm that YouTube uses. So nobody knows how it works. There's no human being who can tell you how the algorithm works. So yeah, SEO is great, but it's only great to a point, because the algorithm takes into account comments, and the algorithm takes into account your words that you say through the automatic closed captioning or uploaded closed captioning. It takes into account things like how many likes you get and when you get them in the video. So if you get them right away or only at the end, that will change it. How much and why, we have no idea. What you link to in your end cards could play a part in it. We have really, truly no idea. How many links you have in a description, how long your description is, how many tags you have, how long the tags are. Is it a exact match for the search that they're having? Because you'll see somebody like Total Biscuit, who has 3 million subscribers and is arguably the most successful and most influential PC gaming reviewer in the world at this point, and he'll put in 3 tags and a description that has 12 words, and it doesn't matter. He'll still get pushed to the front page of YouTube, and not even necessarily because of the amount of views he has. I mean, if you go to the trending right now, I can guarantee you, any day that you're watching this, and it doesn't matter what day you're watching it, what time you're watching it, you can go to the trending tab on YouTube, and there will be a video there with less than 100,000 views. And it'll be in the top 10. How is that a top 10 trending video if it has less than 100,000 views? It doesn't make any sense at all. And that's because nobody knows how that algorithm works. So SEO is really good, and it's really important. You should learn it because it gives you a slight edge. But I wouldn't say that you should spend so much time focused on SEO that you're not just making good content. And that sucks, because you might be saying, oh, I'm going to make really good content and nobody is watching it, so there's something wrong. But that something that's wrong may not be something that you can fix.
Right, that's just something that's like outside of our own control. I mean, it, like you said, we don't know like how SEO works. But
No clue. Why are fidget spinners all that popular? It's not, it really cannot possibly be that people give anything about fidget spinners. It's not that. It's that people click on one and they watch that one because they go, oh, hey, this is cool. This guy made a fidget spinner out of gallium. That's interesting. And all of a sudden, YouTube's algorithm goes, hey, fidget spinners are cool. And it starts pushing them out and everybody's seeing them. And let's face it, if you get on the front page of YouTube, doesn't matter what your video is about, you're going to get views. So when it starts putting 20 fidget spinner videos on the front page, all of a sudden they're all getting views, and then it just kind of cycles down on that. And that's the thing. It's really, really difficult to know what's going to cause it. And you might have, I had a video just the other day that hasn't gotten a view on it really, here and there. They haven't really gotten a view on it in about 6 months, and it got 20,000 views. In about, 2 days? For no reason at all. I hadn't gotten a view, and then all of a sudden it gets 20,000 views. And it's not even about a trendy or a popular topic. It's not something that anybody gives a crap about, and all of a sudden it gets 20,000 views. So the algorithm is completely unknown, and you know what? The SEO on that video is crap, because it's 6 months ago, back when I didn't know anything, you know? So I don't know how much SEO really matters that much, you know?
Right. So you're saying that it doesn't really matter too much for the people that are already like high up there, kind of, more or less?
It doesn't matter for people who have an audience, and it doesn't matter for people who don't have an audience. It only matters for the people who are actively building an audience, and those people are the people who are probably going to grow anyways. It's one of those, I don't know, it's really difficult to say specifically. I don't want to come across as an expert because nobody knows.
Yeah. Anything you want to say, Ollie? You've been a little quiet.
I didn't want to interrupt anybody or cut anybody off, but...
No, please cut me off. I mean, I'll cut you off. Don't worry.
Yeah, cut you off. All right, go ahead.
All I can really say is I had no idea about like SEO or any of that. I didn't think any of that really like mattered when I first started out. So I never put tags past like, since I was uploading directly from the PlayStation 4, it automatically put like PlayStation 4, PS4 share, and Sony Interactive Entertainment in as tags. And that's just all I would put. And then I would put, like, a general thanks for watching in the description. And I thought that was just good. Like, I had no idea that, like, tags and titles and all that could actually affect it. And then my thumbnails were just terrible. They were all just Google images that I stole. And then for whatever it's part so true. Of the series it was, I would go into, like, Microsoft Paint and just add text for, like, number sign, whatever number in the series it was.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all the effort I put into my videos.
I would argue that the thumbnail is infinitely more important because SEO might get you in front of somebody, but the thumbnail is actually going to be what gets them to click. And if you have good content, then when somebody clicks on that interesting thumbnail, they're going to stay. And that is going to get YouTube to promote you. So I think that's way more important. I think having an excellent thumbnail is way more important than any work that you put into SEO. And having worked with a lot of YouTubers at this point, and I've worked with YouTubers up to, I guess, now 1.2 million subscribers, every single one of them who has been even remotely successful spends more time on their thumbnail than they do on any other thing, anything else. And that's including the video. So I really am a firm believer that a strong thumbnail is more important than anything. And I don't even spend that much time on a thumbnail. And I know that, like I should, and I don't do that, but it's right. Absolutely mm-hmm. The most important thing, I think, because if you have a good thumbnail, they're going to click it.
Yeah, I definitely spend more time on my thumbnails now than I did then. I've downloaded GIMP and I've learned how to use it. I don't make new thumbnails for every video. One series will have one thumbnail with a number changing up until a point. I usually change it. My Doom series has the most like unique thumbnails, and it had the same thumbnail for the first like 12 parts, and then from 13 on, I put like a new variant up.
Okay, all right, and yeah, like you said, Ollie, back at the time, I didn't put much effort in my thumbnails. I would just put whatever, I guess whatever image like just comes up randomly when I upload it to YouTube. But yeah, like Moriarty said, the thumbnail does have to like catch the person's eye before you know you just click it. I mean, there's different parts of a thumbnail. I mean, you could just have like the name of the video and then have your brand there. I mean, it's surprising to me that there's some videos out there that would have like semi-clickbait titles or semi-clickbait thumbnails or something like that. But yeah, I don't know how they do it. We've been a little too long into this topic. I'm sorry. But yeah, but yeah, growing a small YouTube channel, yeah, that's definitely important, all this stuff, all this information. But let's go into the next topic, which is networking with other creators. So in my opinion, like once you grow your small YouTube channel, once you have some sort of audience, the next step that you could possibly consider will be to network, like get to know other small YouTubers that are within your genre or anything like that. How was it for you folks to start doing networking?
Well, I fell in with NewTubers, and that's kind of it.
That's great.
We ended up creating the NewTubers Discord, which you know now has however many 1,100 people on it or whatever, and 26,000 people on the subreddit. I think that if you're going to start networking, that's probably the go-to place, personally, but I'm probably biased, so maybe I'll just throw this over
to you. Yeah, all of us, we're pretty biased about that. I'm just kidding.
I honestly haven't done much with networking or collaborating, whatever you want to call it. I've done a few videos with friends before, but they didn't really have like channels, so I don't think that would be like networking or anything. And they're all gone now, so don't try and find them, because they weren't good.
Well then,
but I was trying to figure out ways to like make my channel better, make my content more seen or whatever, And one of my friends suggested that I go to Reddit. And so I was really hesitant until I found, I think I just searched like small YouTube channels on Reddit or something. And I found NewTubers, nice community for like nice people that actually genuinely want to help each other and help other people, you know, just as much as they'd like help themselves.
Okay. Fair enough.
And then I found the Discord, and I've been on the Discord since then, and it's been like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I think. I've started networking and doing collabs and stuff.
Well, here you are doing one right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I started off on Reddit, at first I had like the wrong impression of Reddit. I thought like, oh, there's like bad people or there's like bad communities out there. But I didn't realize there was other communities out there like YouTubers and genuinely nice people there. And you know, I met a lot of cool people like these two right here. And
yeah, and, I'm all right.
Of course, yeah, I'm all right too. Yeah, and yeah, that's basically with YouTubers. That's how I was encouraged enough to start doing collabs, you know. That's how I started having the idea to do podcasts. So that's just kind of me coming out of my own show and not just doing videos all by myself. You know, just have other people out there, like, have their own opinions on certain topics or anything like that, or just having a good time in a game, you know.
Yeah. I would love to do more collabs and networking. It's just difficult for me because I don't have like a good gaming PC, and that's what most people do like gaming videos off of.
No, for me. I can tell you that's not true, and I know the numbers. They're not all gamers. I can tell you, they're not all gamers. I know that for a fact.
I just mean like the gaming YouTubers.
Yeah, sure.
Are all on PC, I don't have a gaming PC, so
there's quite a lot of console gamers who are out there doing it too. But yeah, having a PC I think is pretty important for having a YouTube channel that is serious. Having a decent PC that you can do rendering and proper editing on, absolutely. I get what you mean, though. It's hard for me because obviously I'm a gaming channel and we're all kind of top tier gamers, so we all have pretty much beastly PC rigs sitting next to us all day, so it's a little tough for me. Hashtag not sponsored, by the way, on the whole NewTubers thing.
Right. Yeah, we made that clear already.
just making it clear. I really do think that that's the place to go. It's what helped me. I've done 30 or 40 different collaborations at this point, and every single one of them has been with a fellow NewTuber. And I've got, you know, people I've met on NewTubers are on my channel. They're every single person I've met, or every single creator that's on my channel is a NewTuber. And everybody that I've collaborated with is a NewTuber. And everybody who's had me on their channel is a NewTuber. My streamers are NewTubers. The streams that I join in with are with NewTubers. So I really do think that it's a powerful and useful tool for learning and meeting people and networking. And it's one of those things that we, as a community and as the leadership of the community, really focus on a lot is making the opportunities to network. And we're actually going to be doing first time you get to hear it here, we're going to be doing a social networking week where we're going to be focusing on networking throughout the community using all of the different tools that we have. And we've got, you know, 60 different people in the organization at this point. So we're going to have a pretty cool thing there, kind of focusing on networking, because it's really important getting in there and meeting other people and talking with them and learning different ways to do things and working with them in different ways. I mean, it's just so much that goes into being a YouTuber, and it's not just you alone. That's the one thing that NewTubers teaches you, is you're not alone out there. There's always people who are doing the same thing, and they can be with you and help you out. Hashtag not sponsored.
Yeah, I plus one that hashtag right there.
Yeah,
networking definitely important. But yeah, let's go ahead and move on to the next thing, which is superhero movies coming out or have come out. One of the recent
ones... I guess then, if we're going to do that, we got to start right away and just say that Marvel's better than DC.
Yes, I second that wholeheartedly.
Hashtag and, biased. Just kidding.
And the Universal Dark Universe is already proving to be very, very bad, so Marvel is still better.
Yep.
Okay, so I feel like that's a complete discussion there.
Yep.
Yeah, we can't really have that discussion without actually discussing some of the movies.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, one of the recent ones that came out was Wonder Woman, right? That's the recent one.
Yep.
Did any of you watch that?
No.
I have not.
I probably won't.
The thing is that DC with, you know, Batman.
They try too hard.
Get good.
You know, I'm kind of excited right now for Justice League just because
I'm not.
Well, here's the thing. Zack Snyder's not directing it anymore. Now it's going to be Joss Whedon. And I like Joss Whedon. He's always done really funny stuff. So I'm willing to at least give that one a chance.
But Zack Snyder still do a lot of the, like, production and writing on it?
I'm sure he'll throw it all out because it's going to be crap. Zack Snyder did it. Like, it's going to be terrible. So he'll throw it out. And hopefully it'll be good now. And then, you know, the Dark Universe with The Mummy and then the upcoming Invisible Man and the Frankenstein reboot and all of that kind of stuff.
They're rebooting Frankenstein again?
Of course, yeah. They're doing the whole thing, the entire Universal everything. So they've already got Johnny Depp on as the Invisible Man, which is going to be pointless because he's invisible? Why would you hire a nobody?
Or
a really good voice actor. Like, come on. You don't need Johnny Depp up there, Captain Jack Sparrowing his way through the Invisible Man.
I'm actually excited for that now. I didn't know that he was attached to it. He is one of my favorite actors.
But he doesn't act anymore. He's just Jack Sparrow. That's it. That's all he's done. Like Barnabas, he was Jack Sparrow, you know? It doesn't matter. When he was the Mad Hatter, he was Jack Sparrow. When he was Willy Wonka, he was Jack Sparrow. He was Jack Sparrow.
He was Edward Scissorhands too, no?
But that was before he was Jack Sparrow.
Oh, yeah. Don't they have a Pirates of the Caribbean movie coming out too?
Where he was Jack Sparrow. Yeah, so like the Dark Universe, I'm not really excited for that. You know, the Mummy.
I'm not excited for most of it, but I'm excited for that one now.
Superhero movies, come on, people!
Right? You know,
really low off topic. Just kidding.
Well, the Dark Universe is technically a bunch of super villains.
Okay, yeah, in a way, yeah.
And then DC.
Then there was also. There was also the Lego Batman movie,
which is
technically a superhero movie, or probably not. I don't even know. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I don't know if I'd consider any of the Lego movies to be superhero movies.
Having recently seen the Lego Batman movie, can honestly say did not enjoy it that much. I don't see what all the hype was about. It wasn't good. It was a bunch of cringy jokes that were like already... Probably by the time the movie started production, all the jokes were already a good 3-4 years old, and it just wasn't good.
So it fits perfectly into the DC universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I saw the commercial for that movie, I felt like Robin had like a way different personality than what he had in the movies or in the comics or anything like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that you can even bring the Lego stuff into it, really. Yeah.
I will say...
Oh, no, I'm on Google. That's a movie.
I will say it had like one or two good moments where it was only good moments because it was referencing other Batman movies. And
so they're recycling jokes, basically.
Essentially. There's just one part where Batman is all in a funk and in a bad mood, and Alfred is trying to like talk to him. He's like, I've seen you go through phases like this before. And then he lists in chronological order, starting in 2016, all the way back to the 60s, all of the different Batman movies that have come out.
That was a bit terrible. Like,
clips and stuff from each movie.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And it's like, that was the one good part of the whole movie. The whole rest of the movie is just garbage. Cut it to that like 30-second clip and there's your film.
Like all the referencing and stuff. Wow.
Now, Marvel's not perfect by any means. I mean, God, please hire a new colorist, but it's still a better overall fun environment, you know? I never feel like I have
Can
to
I just
see
say,
a Marvel film, but I enjoy them.
I am super excited for Spider-Man.
Oh, the Spider-Man?
Homecoming.
Homecoming looks amazing. I have waited so long to see the Vulture on the big screen. So overdue, so needed.
Yeah, I gotta watch that trailer sometime. I heard there's some hype going on with the upcoming Spider-Man.
I'm mostly excited about the Venom movie they announced.
The Venom movie's coming out? What?
Venom looks great, too.
Oh, looks
so good. I love Tom Hardy as Venom. That sounds amazing.
I'm very excited for it.
Yes. I don't know where they're going to go with it.
70s kid. Oh, show.
I don't know where they're going to go with it or how they're going to try and do it. I hope. I think it would be really cool if they tried to pick somewhere in the, like, the hero Venom kind of timeline or whatever you'd call it. After he's, like, given up being a villain.
So he turns to the good side. I mean, that's a decent twist.
That's been a line of comics for a while now. And it's always fascinated me, personally. I love any time they try and have villains come to the good side or whatever. Right. There was a really great short-lived universe in the comics side. Sorry, I'm getting away from movies into the comics, but
okay. Just talk a little briefly about it. Yeah.
Yeah. There is a whole universe where it was backwards. The heroes were villains and the villains were heroes. And there was a Carnage series in that universe where Carnage, being a worse version of Venom, was trying to be a hero. And it was like every panel he would do something bad, but do it as a hero. And then have to go, wait, heroes don't do that. What am I doing? I can't be a hero. I have to be a hero. It was great, but it was canceled after 3 issues.
Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, what other So what other stuff has come out? There was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and then what else? I don't know if you guys have anything to say about that. I mean, I heard...
That movie was great. I love the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. 2, in my opinion, was way better than the first one.
I watched neither, but I wouldn't know.
Oh man, the first one was great. You have to watch that.
Yeah.
I'll definitely look into it.
Even if you're not going to see the second one, the first one is really good.
The first one is great, but then that kind of begs you to see the second one, because the second one is a vast improvement.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get him to watch the first one. He'll watch the
I'll watch both. How's that? I'll watch both.
Good.
There's no doubt he'll watch the second one. I'm just saying, watch the first one. Hey, it's called The Trick. It's a bait and switch, man. Come on.
Hey, I'll give it a chance. Come on. Anything else? There's this Captain Underpants. I mean, I didn't even expect there was going to be a movie on this, because I know there was books on this, like, when I was a kid. I didn't expect they were going to have a movie on that.
I didn't know there was going to be a movie, but I'll tell you, I was real excited for it when it was announced, got more excited when I saw the trailer. I have yet to see it, but I am excited for it, because I read the books when I was growing up, too, and they were one of my favorite series, so overall, pretty excited for that one.
That looks all right, too. Let's see. Okay, because Ed Helms is playing as Captain Underpants. And then I even know Kevin Hart was going to be in this movie, too, as George.
Yeah.
So I bet it's going to be good, because Kevin Hart can be funny at times.
Yeah.
Any other movies?
I have nothing to say about that one. I'm sorry.
Oh, kind of depends. Yeah, like, oh, it's not a superhero movie.
It has nothing to do with me. I will not see it. Almost 100%. It's just not interesting.
It's over 100% that I will see it.
Yeah, no, not going to see it. I can pretty much guarantee that. Maybe it'll be on Netflix in like 6 years and I'll stumble into it when I'm sleepy on the couch or something. But it's
I'll
not
give
something
you the
I'm
rundown.
For.
I'll see it and I'll give you the rundown.
There you go. You can tell me all about it.
I will rewrite
Or I'll see
the
it on
script.
CinemaSins, you know?
I will rewrite the script word for word and send it to you.
Now I'm going to expect it.
All right, so I guess there's no more other movies coming out. I guess, I mean, not that I know of.
There's a couple more that are coming out, but they're not till like next year, and there's not a lot known about them.
Yeah, we've got Black Panther, which looks
Black Panther looks you've amazing. Got... I am super excited for that.
You've obviously got Homecoming and Venom. You've got Justice League, Aquaman movie eventually. Yeah. That's about it. Oh, and obviously the Invisible Man.
All right.
There's the Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah, but who knows when? I mean, like, come on.
That's 2018 and 2019.
That's way too far away. I'm not even worried about that yet. Like, I'm still living in the present, bro.
Yeah, we're still in 2017. Let's wait until 2018 when it actually comes.
There's the new Thor that's coming out. I'm excited for that one, except for Jeff Goldblum. I cannot stand him, and he's probably going to ruin the movie for me.
Alrighty, I guess, but... Okay, so let's go ahead to the fourth topic, which is favorite games to play. Yeah, I remember I talked with Arnese. He interviewed me recently on Interview with a Gamer, and I remember I mentioned... Skullgirls being one of the games that I guess I would not get bored playing. It's actually like that game is a fighting game, in case you folks don't know. And
I really like Skullgirls.
Skullgirls.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I really like the music too. That's what really catches me. Is the music. It has like a jazzy feel. You know?
Yeah. I've only played it once or twice, but I enjoyed all the time I had with it.
Yeah, I've been on and off it, but I gotta get back into it sometime. This is my go-to fighting game. I also have a go-to card game called Hearthstone, and yeah, I've been playing that since when it came out in the closed beta, which was around like late 2013 or early 2014. I don't remember the exact year or time, but yeah, it's a pretty long grind to actually get good cards, especially if you're like not paying money to buy packs and such. And recently on my streams I've been playing Skyrim, so I'm gonna beat that game pretty soon. I really like the open world feel to it.
You can't beat Skyrim.
That's what Brax told me.
That's the whole point, is that you can't beat it. I had like 400 hours on that game on the Xbox when it came out in 2010 or 11 or whatever it was, and I never even killed the final dragon. I couldn't do it because he was my friend. So, like, you can't beat that game.
I have games that I lean towards for, like, multiplayer aspects. And then I have games that I love to play just solo.
But yeah, when I meant B, I meant, like, the main story. I mean, it still counts, does it?
I guess. There's so much to it. That's such a big game. I don't know. When it comes to favorite games, I play so many of them.
CSGO.
And CSGO really becomes the game that I talk about the most, because it's the one that, when I'm not playing something else, I can jump into it for 15 minutes or 2 hours, and I have a good time every single time. I mean, not every single time am I having a good time, but I enjoy myself most of the time. I play all sorts of stuff, and, you know, since I'm a VR game critic, I end up playing a lot of VR games, and I don't know. The thing I'm looking for in a game at this point is I really want, like, a Mad Games Tycoon 2, you know, something like that. One of those tycoon-y type of games that's actually pretty in-depth, and is
Roller Coaster Tycoon HD Remaster.
Yeah, you know, like the Roller Coaster Tycoon stuff was great. It was fun and fantastic.
Roller Coaster Tycoon, Zoo Tycoon, I'll take all of those. Just
they're great fun. I like the businessy ones a little bit more. So, like, Mad Games Tycoon is a game development tycoon, and it's very business-oriented. So I really enjoy that one. And then really, you know, anything. I mean, if we're talking card games, then I'd go, well, I don't know, probably Magic. If we're talking about, you know, the open world RPGs, I'm probably going to say The Witcher 3, because I think that's the best open world RPG that's ever been made. There's, I don't know, like favorite games to play? All of them.
There is no such thing as a favorite.
Like, I love all of them. It's my passion. This gaming is my hobby.
There's so much to choose, yeah. I mean, some of those you mentioned I haven't looked into, but yeah,
I've got this really great review channel that you can check out. All of the games that I've been talking about.
I don't know, like I said, I have my favorite game depends on like what I'm doing. If I'm playing solo, then I have like a certain 2-3 games that I'll play. If I'm playing to record, then I have another 2-3 games that I could play and record pretty often. One of my groups of friends, and I have another game that is my favorite with them, and it's, I don't know, I just like games in general, all of them. Yeah.
All of them. That's a good answer.
Yeah, all of them. Sure. We talked about so many other games, some of those I don't even have. But yeah, my go-to open world art kind of game would be Skyrim. Fighting game would be Skullgirls. FPS. At first, for me, it was CSGO, but I'm looking more into Payday 2. So that's actually
pretty
fun.
You disgust me.
What? I'll still go to CSGO with you guys.
Okay. Payday's alright, I suppose.
Yeah, it's alright.
Current favorite open world game is Fallout 4. Fighting game is Mortal Kombat.
Oh, that's a good one. I play the classic
older one.
Yeah, I like that one. I have 1, 2, and 3.
I love Mortal Kombat X. It's just I don't have friends that like come over to play, so
oh my.
Playing solo, like I played the story, which was really good. The story was actually really well done, and it wasn't, in my opinion, super heavy like cutscene, and then one battle and then cutscenes. It spaced it out pretty okay. I bought the collector's edition of that, of Mortal Kombat X. So I have like the limited edition, like gold scorpion statue. And then at a convention, I actually met Patrick Seitz. I don't know how you pronounce his last name. The voice actor for Scorpion. And so I had him sign the case to the game. Go to like first person shooter would be any Call of Duty because it's easily accessible.
Oh yeah, because you used to play plenty of console, right?
Yeah.
I see.
Ah, you play Call of Duty. You must be on a console. I like that.
I am looking forward to World War II when it releases in November.
Yeah, how about indie games? Any favorite indie games you guys like?
Man, I play so many indie games.
Oh yeah, because I can tell. I looked at your channel.
Yeah, right. Like, so VR games, which is kind of the bread and butter that the channel is primarily indie developers. And other than indie developers, you have, you know, Ubisoft, and I don't play Ubisoft because I refuse to install a virus on my computer. So I instead just have a whole bunch of games. And occasionally, you know, you get those AAA titles like Serious Sam VR or the upcoming Bethesda VR titles. So Doom VFR and Skyrim VR and Fallout 4 VR. So, like, they're starting to be a little bit of that AAA, but because I do so many VR titles, I am playing indie games.
I am excited for
all
Doom VR.
I don't... Okay, so, like, I have major problems with Doom VFR because it's not what I was expecting. And
it's not what I was expecting, but I think it'll still be fun.
I don't know, because it's not anything special. That's the problem. When they started talking about that game, they said, hey, we've got this incredible revolutionary teleportation method. It's going to be this, and it's going to be that, and we've got these great locomotions, and it's going to be the full game. And it turns out it's not the full game, and it doesn't have anything revolutionary, and it's just the same thing with a slow down teleportation. I'm not sure that I'm excited for it. Plus, they're selling it for a full $30, and I've already paid $60 for the original game. So I don't know. Like,
I don't know. I don't have a VR setup. I don't.
Yeah, me neither.
I didn't know any of that. Like how they were talking about it. All I saw was literally like the trailer that they put out after E3 on their YouTube.
Yeah, man, if you've never played a game in VR and you see that, you're going to be like, hey, that looks cool, but I've played that game already. That's the problem. I've played what they put out already, and it was developed by indie developers a year ago. So I'm not terribly excited for it at the moment. That could change. I love Doom. I love John Romero and John Carmack, but like, this isn't the Doom of old. So I don't know. Like, the game that they came out with, Doom 2016, I guess it was, or 2015?
Yeah.
That was a very, very cool game. And
like the remake one, right?
Still done. Yeah, the remake, the most recent remake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, really cool
what
game.
I'm playing through right now.
Very, very cool game. A lot of fun. You know, id Software has done some really cool stuff recently. The Wolfenstein remake was absolutely incredible. And the new Colossus looks incredible. I'm super excited for it, but Doom VFR just isn't pulling me in as what is now an experienced VR player. So I hope they do well, because if Bethesda does well in VR, then more people will get into VR, but I'm just not prepared at this moment to throw $30 at them.
I'm just waiting for Nintendo to get into VR. I can see it now.
Right.
It'll just be a patch that makes the whole Switch have motion control.
Right.
And you buy, or you order Google Cardboard, and you just put it in there.
Yeah, that'd be pretty interesting.
I mean, you know, Apple's getting into VR now, so who knows?
Yeah, everybody's going Apple. To VR for the most part. Well, some.
I don't like Apple products.
Yeah, but once Apple proves it, you know, everybody jumps into it.
Yeah, how about any like non-VR indie stuff that you guys like?
I don't really play non-VR anymore. I don't have time for it, but I love...
You don't have time, or you don't make time for it?
I don't have time. I really don't. Like, I mean, come on now. You know, it took 2 weeks to get me onto a podcast, and it's only an hour out of my day. And even now I'm sitting here going, man, I have so much stuff to do. So, like, I just don't have time to get into a new game, especially when at this point I get like 15 games sent to me every week. I'm like handing them off to other people going, hey, do you even want this, or should I trash the game? Like, it's too much. So for me, yeah, indie games are really cool. And I think indie games are what is driving the entire industry forward, because they're producing a lot of really cool stuff, and they're producing the stuff that we want to see, and they're doing experimentation. And you know what, when they do hit it big, they hit it really freaking big, and they do cool stuff and all of that. But at the same time, I always think about things like, you know, space-based DF9, which was an indie game that completely just took advantage of its entire player base. So, like, there's all sorts of stuff like that. I don't know. Like, I like indie games, but I hate them at the same time. And that's probably because I play so many games now. I think that's probably my bias. If you're a regular gamer and you're saying, hey, I got $20 to spend, absolutely go buy yourself 4 or 10 or 50 in a bunch of bundles indie games. Absolutely. You're going to have way more fun than spending that $20 on a, you know, AAA title from 2 years ago that's on the Steam sale, but buy yourself some indie games, man. That's the better way to go. But for me, no, I just don't play them that much anymore. I don't play games that much anymore.
I don't know. Last indie game I played was Snipperclips on the Switch, and that was great. I love that game.
Yeah, for me, Terraria was a pretty good one for me. The possibilities are endless. Like, it's like you could do so much in that game. You could beat it, but there's still a bunch of other stuff you could, like, do in the game. I mean, for series I haven't made time to play. Some of the games I have, but I never even started, so... Yeah, it's all about making that time. As for games coming up, I'm really looking into Life is Strange Before the Storm.
I really want to like that, but I feel like they cheaped out by making it a prequel, because now you can't have Max in it, because it would just not make any sense. It's going to focus on Rachel and some other girl. And
Chloe.
I don't know. It just feels... like they're taking the cheap way out because they realize that they wrote themselves into a corner with their incredibly crappy ending to episode 5.
I never got into Life is Strange to begin with.
I don't know. I played it, Moriarty played, but we both have, I guess, different experience of it. I mean, I think M played both endings, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I just played one of the endings. But...
okay, so yeah. What did you do?
Really, I'm going to say it?
Yeah, did you save her, or did you let her go?
I had to save the city. I mean, I just felt like it was the better option.
Well, it's the only option, to be fair, because the other ending is complete crap. But that ending is crap, too. And there's a whole lot of reasons for why they're both crappy endings to that game. Because it was a really good game, and it kind of had that, like, Damon Lindelof problem, where it... wrote up a really cool story with way too many threads, and it couldn't figure out how to pull them all together and make a satisfying and complete ending. While the ending that you chose was arguably the better ending of the two,
well, yeah, because
still a crap ending.
I mean, yeah, because it can, like, the whole last conversation pretty much encouraged you to choose the better ending.
Of course, it's the only one that you could do, and it's obvious from the way, like, if you were to play both of them, the other one, there's not even any voice acting, like, they clearly just, like, threw up whatever they could because they were like, no one's ever going to do this, and they ripped off their fans that way. I feel like doing a prequel on that game is... a really cynical way of saying, hey, just give us more money because we can't possibly continue this.
Fair enough. I don't know. I'll look into it, but I don't know. So many games out there, so little time.
That's the problem, man. This is where I'm at. This is too much.
Please, we need more time, please.
Give me 10 days in a week.
Or just pause time and, I don't know... They will just have a storm hitting, I don't know, the entire Earth.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think now, since I started doing YouTube, I think I now have, like, 1,500 games on Steam. I don't have time.
And it's understandable, so, yeah. I feel sorry for you.
I have, like, 5 games on Steam.
Only 5?
And my computer's not even good enough to run any of them.
Oh, man, well, I'm so sorry, man.
I have no answer for that.
Actually, I can run Duck pretty okay, but that's about it.
I guess get into YouTube, bro.
Wait, he wants to upgrade his PC first.
Get into YouTube. They'll send you stuff.
Yeah, you gotta get sponsored by somebody.
Yeah, get that sponsorship dollars, bro.
ICX? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I meant to look into that, and I never did.
Yeah, I did, but I have, like, no clue how to use it. Well, wait, we're getting off topic here again.
Totally off topic, but please do it. Yeah, absolutely.
Alright, so, yeah, there's so many games, but so little time for the podcast, at least. But let's go ahead. Alright, let's go to the final topic, which is the drum roll? No, okay. Wait, why do we need a drum roll for this? All right, it's other life in the universe. Something I guess I don't really think about too much, but something that boggles my mind.
So I actually do think about this quite a lot. And there are, for me, there's like two different things to think about, right? First, there's the Fermi paradox. And that is that there are no other life forms out there. And the argument behind it is, well, there's billions of stars like the sun. Therefore, it's reasonable there are planets like Earth. Therefore, it's reasonable some would develop life. Therefore, it's reasonable some would develop interstellar travel. And even at slow speeds, the entire galaxy would be visited over millions of years. And it has been billions of years, so we would have already been visited by an alien. Therefore, there are no aliens, right? That's the Fermi paradox. But then at the same time, I'm sorry?
No, no, I was just thinking of the aliens meme.
The aliens meme? So, like, there's that. There's the Fermi paradox, right? There's that thinking out there saying, look, if there were aliens, they would have been here already, so there are no aliens. And my argument is, no, that's complete BS, right? Because, first off, travel is slow. We know that you can't go faster than the speed of light, so even if you were to do an Einstein-Rosenkreutz bridge, which a wormhole, right? So, like, even if you were to do that, it would still be very slow, and if they had been to Earth, it probably would have been uncolonizable, or we would have been primitives, and the fact that there isn't, you know, an alien here now doesn't mean that there hasn't been aliens. And additionally, there are presumably more reliable ways to find life than just sending starships to every boring star in the galaxy. I mean, like, our star is remarkably boring. So, like, why would you send a starship out here just because? And even if there were, right, like, massive galactic empires that were traversing the stars, what reason have we given them to visit our star in the last 80 years? Which, you know, is the distance between the closest 20 or so exoplanets and Earth, plus the time it would take to travel here at the speed of light. So, like, we can talk about Fermi as the whole idea of, is there life out there? No, there's not, because no one's been here. Let's say in 2026, when we can be sure that they might be visiting us and arriving to investigate the nuclear explosions from Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Because, you know, it takes 40 years for them to see that light of all these explosions going off in this tiny little star in the middle of nowhere.
Oh my God.
We're really hicks. Like, when it comes to the galaxy, we're complete hicks way out there and nobody cares about it. So, like, 40 years for them to see the light of those explosions, and then 40 years for them to actually get here. So, like, 2026, yeah, we can talk about the whole, is there life out there? No, there's not, because nobody's been here. After we've given them a reason to come here in the first place, and it's been enough time to get there for them to see that there's a reason, and enough time for them to get here from there after seeing it. That's my thought. I understand it's not terribly well thought out.
I don't even know, man. I feel like you just, like, wrote a script on this section or something.
No, no, I think about that a lot. Like, you know, you're going to talk. Okay.
What?
I digress.
But yeah, any thoughts of Ali?
Not really. I mean, I don't know. I don't pay much attention to that. I don't really care one way or the other. I don't personally, like, think that there is anything else out there, but, you know, if one day it happens to be
a UFO
that, or there is,
there has to be, man. You've got a billion stars, a billion, and of those, most of them have planets, and, like, 40% of those planets are reasonably livable to some sort of life, you know, whether it be carbon-based or silicon-based. Like, there's reasonable amount that could have life. It just doesn't make sense.
I know, it doesn't make sense.
Of the billions of planets,
Or trillions, or I don't even know. Or
Like not one has another life form on. That doesn't even make sense. Especially considering when you go to, like, we went to Mars and we found potential evidence of microbes on Mars, which means that if, and obviously we'd have to go to Mars to find out, but if there are microbes on Mars, then that means that 100% of the planets that we've been to have aliens on them. You got me ranting.
I'm not saying that there isn't. I'm just saying I personally don't think there is. If one day something happens, then, you know, cool. But I don't know. I don't care. I don't put that much, like, thought into it.
Well, that's fine. I ranted enough for both of us.
Well, for me, I guess most things are possible. So if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But hey, as long as we're still alive, nobody dies. And I guess that's what matters, I guess.
This is a very depressing way of looking at it. I don't care if we're all alone or not, as long as everybody's alive. They may be alive on the cold, barren rock that's left after the heat death of the universe, but at least they're alive.
Or the storm in Life is Strange, like if it happens in real life. No, not like that.
He's the moral truth, but yet he's so depressing.
No, I just hope that we'll be okay, you know? We're healthy and... Yeah, I hope nothing bad happens to any of us, including myself.
Well, I don't think we'll see any alien life in our lifetime. But then again, what is our lifetime? I mean, we could start talking transhumanism there and then really saying, well, what is a lifetime? But we're not going to go that far into it, Moral. I don't even know why you're bringing it up.
All right, well, I think that was the thing.
Well, yeah, if you mentioned that, Moriarty, then we'll be completely off topic, and then this whole podcast will be way over an hour.
It's not like we've stayed on topic at all during this entire thing. Let's be fair. Okay.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, we're not completely organized on this, but hey, at least we tried. But, yeah, anything else, Ollie?
No, not that I can, not that I can think of.
Well, anyways, I guess all I can say is... Okay, I just lost my train of thought. I don't even know where...
I guess all I can really say is...
I just lost my train of thought.
Oh, man. That's a good outro. You should use that one.
Yeah, I think you should just end it there. All I right can say there. Is, and then cut it. That's what I would do.
Oh my god.
I've actually done that. If my capture screws up and doesn't get my full outro, I'll just leave it. I won't do anything. I won't go back and, like, record voiceover for an outro. I'll just leave it.
Alright. That's all the time we have for this extra long special podcast. So yeah, I would like to thank Moriarty and Orphan Ollie for participating in this podcast today as my special guests.
Happy to be here. Don't forget, if you like this, go ahead and hit that like button. Moral will really appreciate it.
And subscribe to me and Moral.
And Crime War Gaming too, yeah, sure.
Yeah, them too. Whatever.
Whatever, way. That's not very nice.
Subscribe to all of us. Everybody. Find the Discord, find all their channels.
Yeah, find YouTubers on Reddit. And please.
Not sponsored. We've already established that.
Yeah, not sponsored. Yeah, not sponsored by YouTubers. But hey, feel free to check him out either way. Yeah, very good subreddit. #unbiased. Yeah, with that said, that concludes episode 7 of Moral's Podcast. Again, thank you, Moriarty and Orphan Ollie, for being my guest today. And yeah, if you, like what M said, like what Moriarty said, if you like this video, be sure to hit that like button. And if you'd like to see more, feel free to also hit that subscribe button, but not in this case because you're listening, I'm guessing. You're not really watching. Like, I mean, I wouldn't even know, but either way, if you're just listening or if you're also watching, and if you like to see or you like to hear more, feel free to also subscribe. And also check out Crime War Gaming and check out Orphan Ollie. They're good channels that you definitely should check out.
I mean, we're alright.
Yeah, we're yeah, all alright.
Like halfway decent.
Hey, but hey, we're getting there. We're getting there. Okay, with all these interruptions, I'm trying to properly end this podcast. So anyways, thank you folks for watching. Take care, have a great day, and let the morals be with you.